Good morning and welcome to Weston United Methodist Church. We're so glad that you're with us this morning. Good morning again, and welcome to worship here at Weston United Methodist Church. I have a few announcements for you this morning. On February the 10th, there will be a meeting at 5:30 p.m. called the Charge Conference. This is a church-wide gathering to address issues of the church. There's more about that in your insert, but note that February the 10th, we will have a Charge Conference. This evening, in this worship space, is a Taze worship service there that will begin at 5 o'clock p.m. This is a service of contemplation and meditation and singing that is very fruitful for the soul. So I hope that you'll join us for that time of prayer and healing. Also, we're collecting peanut butter to restock the pantries at Second Harvest Food Bank. So if you will, next time you're at the store, pick up an extra thing of peanut butter and bring it to the church. We would love to provide that service and ministry. Tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, and the church offices and the preschool will be closed for that holiday. Also, this morning we are celebrating the anniversary of Ruth Close. She comes to church every Sunday at the early service, her 104th birthday. was Saturday, January the 17th. So we rejoice with her and her birthday this morning. Oh, one more announcement. The Guatemala missions team is meeting for an informational session in the bishop's parlor directly after this service. So if you want to know more about that mission, if you perchance want to go on that mission, we would love to have you join us in the bishop's parlor through the doors and just follow it around. There'll be people to help guide you there. Think about one of your dearest friends this morning. What is it about them that makes them special to you? And how can we cultivate that in our relationship with Christ?
Gather for worship, not because God chose us, but because, not because we chose God, but because God chose us.
As God's people, we seek to abide in His love.
The path to true joy is through God's love.
As people of joy, we will serve God and love one another.
God's love is so real and present in this room, but all of us are not filled with joy. So let us now pray our prayer of confession. Loving God, In our heads, we know your love is a gift given that conditions. We want to open our hearts to this gift so that your joy becomes evident in our lives. But we often struggle. We allow our own plans and ideas to guide our lives, and we fail to abide in your love and keep your commandments. We do not notice how this distances us from you, the only true source of joy in this world. Forgive us, fill us, and empower us to love another as you have loved us. When we fail to abide in your love, awaken us to the transformational gift your love can be in our lives. Forgive us and remind us that when we hurt others, we hurt ourselves, we hurt you. When we love others, we love ourselves, and we love you. Empower us to be channels of grace and beacons of joy wherever we go. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Open your hearts to God's love and love one another just as God has loved us all. In the name and spirit of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Thank you.
Let us now pray together our prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to John. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. And this is the word of God for the people of God.
Good morning and welcome. If any other youngsters want to come down, you're more than welcome. Have you guys ever played with magnets before? I stole these from my refrigerator this morning. So the way the magnet works is that there's two sides of it. Have you ever played with them? Can you put them together and feel the force? They go together like that. But then the other sides, sometimes they'll go against each other and it's hard to push them together. That's because with magnets, there's two sides. There's a positive side and a negative side, or a north side and a south side, or maybe you could consider it other opposites, like a happy side and a sad side. The cool thing about magnets is if you put the same sides together, you know, the north side and the north side together, or the south side and the south side together, it won't go. You see how when you push it together, it kind of won't go perfectly, but it will go on the other side of it when it goes the positive side and the negative side. So you have to have the opposites in order for it to click together like that. This is kind of like our friendships. Sometimes in our lives, we want to be friends with only people that are just like us, but it's even more fun to be friends with people who are very different than us. And then you can kind of click together and you're drawn together, not by your similarities, but by your differences. And we have the opportunity, too, to be friends with God, who is very different from us, but we can click with God because God is our friend. Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you so much for this morning, for an opportunity to be together. Thank you for the opportunity to be friends with people that are different than us. Thank you even more for an opportunity to be your friend and that you are our friend. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Thanks so much. Thanks for coming down. So as many of you know, my job is not to be the primary preacher here this morning, but this morning I do get to preach to you. My primary job here at West End is community groups, spiritual formation. We think that spiritual formation is best done in the context of groups and relationships. Our vision and mission here at West End is to connect and transform, and we think that group life, Bible studies, covenant discipleship groups, Sunday morning classes are places to connect and places for transformation. And so like all good young pastors who are looking to be very good at their job, I turn to the Harvard Business Review. In the Harvard Business Review, I found an article that told me how I can get people to do what I want them to do. And so, in this article, it talked a lot about social identities and that we are all part of various social identities throughout our weeks and throughout our lives. One of the largest social identities is that of your neighborhood. Where you live is a huge part of your social identity. And in the article, it talked about putting solar panels on your house. The greatest indicator of whether or not you have solar panels on your house has less to do with your commitment to energy efficiency or environmental stewardship, and more to do with whether or not other people in your neighborhood have the same social identity. It also has to do with, obviously, socioeconomic level and opportunity in various neighborhoods and spaces, but it has a lot to do with the different social identity that you're a part of. The same thing's true with going to the gym. If you identify with the social identity of health and wellness, in that space, you're more likely to buy products or experience that identity than you are to identify yourself as a bookworm or a wine drinker or any of the other spaces and places that we might be in. And so with the help of this article, I formulated a plan to create a social identity at West End where each one of you will rush to the tables in Reed Hall to join a community group, because that's what we do here at West End, and that is our social identity. But like every young, good pastor that's trying to do the best for her congregation, I decided to also turn to another book. This time I turned to the scriptures, and I turned specifically to this scripture passage this morning in John. John 15, it says, "Love one another. If you obey my commandments, you are my friends. You are considered friends of the creator of the universe." And so I'm thinking a lot about what it means to be friends with Christ, what it means to be a friend. And so I look at another example of friendship in our society. With a click of a button, you can request friendship of someone. And then on the other side of the computer, another person can click a button and whammo, you're friends. And then in the context of this book of faces, we experience a list of algorithms where you click on a specific link or a video of a panda bears playing in the snow, and all of those people that also like that become more and more your friends. It's based on what it is that you like that continues to show things to you on your home feed. And in addition to that, it's also based on a little bit of a self-aggrandizement. No one really shares their authentic self on this social media. However much I love to use this and find that there are benefits within it, I don't think this is the definition of friendship that Christ has for us this morning. You see, Christ talks about what it means to be friendship. He says, "You're no longer my servants, because the servant has no idea what the master is doing. But I call you my friends, because friends know what God is doing. Friends are a part of that and participate in that." And therefore, as friends of Christ, we get to come to a place, the church, where we get to bring our authentic selves, or try our best to bring our authentic selves. And we get to talk about what God is doing in the world, who God is, however difficult and impossible it might be to express the mystery of the creator of the universe. We get to come to a place and come together based on our differences in personalities, differences in opinions, differences in the way that we express God, and that brings us together in Christian community. One of the best examples of this is this friendship bringing together is a book. When we have a book, the author has written to help understand something, and the reader reads to help understand something, and however limited the book may be to express or share a specific thing, those people are brought together by a common knowledge, a common understanding, by their differences. Much like the magnets, as I was talking about this morning, of opposites attracting. You see, the Bible has a lot of differences in it, and it pulls us together in the same way. Michael last week was talking about the beginnings of each of the Gospels. Mark begins with the baptism narrative, the baptism of the Lord. Matthew and Luke begin with the nativity. John this morning, our reading for this morning, John begins in the beginning, in the very beginning of everything. These are different and paint drastically different pictures of the ways in which we see God and we tell the story of Christ. And yet, they're all pulled together in this holy word in the best way that we can know God. You see, sometimes we take the Bible and we put it into our little machine and we crank the wheel out and all of a sudden comes out a list of rules that we need to follow, a list of things we need to do, and so we look at the rules and we say, okay, I'm not doing that good. Okay, I should do that next week. But when we do that to the Bible, we miss this magnetic field that brings us together in our very different interpretations of what Scripture looks like and the ability to build friendship with one another. But as you well know, difference can be incredibly challenging. To listen, to share the way you see it, and ask another person to share the way that they see it. Difference is difficult. Therefore, Jesus has another teaching in the scripture passage this morning. He puts it right between his command to love and his command that we are his friends if we obey commandments. He says, friendship is when you're willing to lay down your life for another. I think what Jesus is literally talking about here is Christ's laid down his life for us. God became a human being, laying down all that was God and is God, but yet incorporating it into a human person and experiencing suffering for us. And this grace is the foundation of all of our friendships. But also, there's a metaphorical laying down of each one of our own lives as we approach difference in another. We lay down our comfort zones. We lay down our assumptions and presuppositions, and we say, I would love to listen to you. I would love to experience a little bit of the way that you see and experience life. I saw a great example of it this past week, and surprisingly, at the Golden Globes, the rapper Common and his sidekick John Legend won the best song in a movie, for his song Glory in the recent film Selma. And during his acceptance speech, he actually talked about the transformation that he experienced by working on this movie. This is what he says. As I got to know the people of the civil rights movement, I realized I am the hopeful black woman who was denied her right to vote. I am the caring white supporter killed on the front lines of freedom. I am the unarmed black kid who maybe needed a hand, but instead was given a bullet. I am the fallen police officer, murdered in the line of duty. Selma has awakened my humanity. Common, in his privilege, prestige, fame, and obviously money, decided to have solidarity, decided to journey to the other side to lay down some of his comfort zone and talk about the people, past, present, and future, that he is in community with, that he has chosen to be friends and in relationship. You see, as I approached these weeks coming to Lynn, I wanted to create a meta-social identity where each one of you will join a group here. And that is still an opportunity for you. But I think that friendship with Christ looks less like a meta-social identity and more like a solidarity, like the hymn in Galatians 5, where you're neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, woman nor man, but you're all one in Christ Jesus, one in the friendship with the creator of the universe. And so you have the opportunity to take all of your differences, lay aside some of those assumptions of social identity, and be friends with one another and share the ineffable, mysterious God and what God is doing in the world. Another example that we have of this journey to the other side is that of Tara, who will explain her witness to how Bible study has transformed her life in this particular community. But before she shares that with us, I'd like for us all to stand and say the United Church of Canada's creed that begins, "We are not alone, but we're in community." It's found on page 883 in your hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Tara. When I came to West End in August of 2012, I was hurting, confused, worried, and exhausted. I was uncertain of so much, but the one thing that I never doubted was the fact that my God, the creator of the universe and nurturer of my soul, cared about me and my well-being. A church that seemed open and loving, grace-filled, and large seemed the perfect place to meet me, to meet God with other believers while I struggled individually with my own pain. I knew just a few short weeks after coming to West End that I could settle in a little, come to worship, deal with my stuff, and be left alone, or so I thought. God so often has different plans for us, and it wasn't long before I felt a very real prompting to join a study. The study was about prayer, and at that time in my life, I felt like that was something I could really learn more about. I also knew that I was taking a pretty big chance of having to really deal with other people. What were they going to be like? Were they going to ask me too many questions? Would they look down on me? My insecurities and my fears almost got the best of me in the days leading up to that very first group meeting. Thankfully, I had one very special person consistently tell me to go and find out what it's about. "You're strong and you can do it," she would say. I owe her a lot for that encouragement. So I took a chance and I went to that study and I met a group of people who are now some of my closest friends at this church. Among some of them are Daniel Nelson and Emily McCord. I also had the priceless opportunity to experience not one, but three Bible studies with them and the late Corliss Dillard. In that study about prayer, what I gained more than anything was how to quiet my soul. I was able to let go of the turmoil of my current circumstances and find a resting place just listening and waiting on God. That discipline brought me great comfort during a difficult time, and the discipline I learned still provides that peace. Our group continued after the prayer study with an Advent study and a Lenten study. I was welcomed and accepted, and I had the chance to welcome and accept these new friends as well. We all met each other right where we were on our individual journeys, and what was born out of that was not only a growing love for the Word of God, but lifelong friendships. Since that first study here at West End, Bible studies and small groups have been a consistent part of my life in this congregation. I still do not know a huge number of people, and as I stand before you all today, I'm sure a lot of you are saying, "We have never even seen her before." But through Bible study, I have made a small group of deep and very meaningful relationships. My inclination and experience in Bible study in general is what led me to find this niche at West End. I've always been an avid reader. From a very young age, I would sort of read anything I could get my hands on. That included the backs of cereal boxes, my mom's subscription to Country Living, and the Bible. I know this is why I was initially drawn to Bible study, but it is not what keeps me coming back for more. Most importantly, I want to say that being a reader of all things is by no means a prerequisite for Bible reading or study. For I have found that even those who find little to no pleasure in other types of reading find the Bible to be a rich storehouse of encouragement and challenges. Saying all of this, in the fall of 2013, I took on the challenge of Disciple One. The disciple study is rather in-depth, and I approach this challenge as an opportunity to read with fresh eyes, an open heart, and a thoughtful mind the Bible that I have read, loved, and worked to follow most of my life. Again, I will say what happened was a greater understanding of God's Word, a deeper appreciation of the love of Jesus, and more new friends that make my life fuller and more complete. The highlight for me in this study was the eclectic group of people and backgrounds. Our group was small, consisting of about 5 to 8 people in any given week. We covered 4 generations and 4 denominational backgrounds. In this group with me, among others, were Eric Gamble, Ty Finch, and Anita Schmid. I now count them as dear in my life, and they have continued to be a great source of encouragement and grace. The same spring that I was working on Disciple One, another opportunity presented itself in the form of a different type of Bible study group. On Sunday mornings, for about 6 weeks, I attended a group where we discussed a book called Reconciling Journey. The group was small and immediately intimate, as the content covered was so personal. There were 2 young women in that group that truly challenged me. Each of them spoke with such conviction and courage about their own journey that I was forever changed. My identity in Christ was solidified amongst that small group, and I left that experience more courageous than when I began. And this fall, just before the holidays, I completed a study on the book of Romans. I must say that covering this New Testament book led to some rather lively group discussions. I am continually astounded that every time I am a part of a Bible study group, God always finds a way to speak directly to me. There is always something that I walk away with that makes my life more complete and truly brings me to a greater understanding of what it means to be a child of God, living to bring God's light to others. The following scripture from Romans is now what I think about on a daily basis in order to live my life to the fullest. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Romans 12:9-16. To me, one of the greatest gifts of all is in a couple of weeks, I get to begin a new group on the Minor Prophets, to be followed by a study of the Psalms. I will study any book of the Bible with those seeking God, even if it is not one that I am particularly drawn to, because that is where God meets me and enlightens me the most. The Bible and studying it corporately has absolutely helped me through the most challenging life event I have experienced, and it helps me daily by lighting a path for fuller and deeper relationship with God and those around me. So just in case you are not awake yet this morning or have not been paying attention, I am passionate about Bible study, and I have been tasked this morning to witness about Bible study, particularly studies at West End. Witness defined simply means to see something happen. In Bible study, you can see something happen. I appreciate how the United Methodist Church talks about witness as a means to open dialogue with others. So today, my hope is to do exactly that for you. Open a dialogue. This dialogue, at the very least, can be within you. Where are you in your own Bible study experiences? How are you interacting with the Bible now? What keeps you from reading the Bible? Possibly it will lead to a dialogue with friends, family, or a pastor about their experiences as well. I need to say that if the Bible has ever been used to hurt or wound you or ever make you feel less than, I am very sorry, and I apologize on behalf of all believers who use the Word of God as a weapon. I feel like I could have very easily let the opinions of others and their interpretation of God's Word turn me away from the Bible altogether. Some of you may be in that place now. I'm so glad that I did not let hurtful interpretations have the last word in my life, and you will be too. The conversations and questions that you have may be challenging, but I dare say that with the most difficult conversations and the most provocative questions can come the greatest enlightenment and hope. And prayerfully, the dialogue that will begin in you today will lead to action. You may decide to take action tomorrow, next week, or next month by opening your Bible or by joining a group. But whenever you do decide to take action, trust me, the action is where seeing something happen really begins. Your life will become the real witness. As for me, I'm in a much better place now than I was the first Sunday I showed up. Yes, I still worry, and I get confused, and I have questions, especially questions about the Bible. But the beautiful thing is that there's peace to be found in the seeking, peace in the reading of God's Word and sharing those questions and confusions with other believers. Thank you.
Good morning. West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who gather to worship with us today. If you're a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. A few things: if you are a college student, either undergraduate or graduate, you're invited to meet with others in the student community and have lunch in room 322 for a time of discussion and fellowship after this service. Our focus for the weeks leading up to Lent is finding your place in the family of God. We invite everyone to connect with a group and discover spiritual transformation here at West End. And this morning, you can specifically find more information in Reed Hall about our Bible studies. First-time guests who are worshiping with us today are invited to stop by the Bread for the Journey table during our fellowship time, where you'll find information about the many ministries of this church and a fresh-baked gift for you. I want to invite you to take note of the gray card in the pew rack. One side of the card may be used to record any comments or questions you have for staff or lay leadership. On the other side of the card, you may write any prayer requests you have. Please indicate if these requests are to be shared or kept confidential. The card may be placed in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. Finally, please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the pad you find near the center aisle down the pew, if you have not done so already. As the pad is passed back down the pew, please take note of those who we are worshiping with today and greet anyone you may not know at the end of this service. This morning, our sympathies are extended to the Phelps family. Irma Howerton Buller, grandmother of Colleen Phelps, passed away on January 9th, 2 months after her husband of 70 years. The funeral was held at Garden of Memories in New Orleans, Louisiana, on January 13th. Now let us prepare to hear God speak to us as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy God, may we hear your voice in the stillness of night, in the clatter of day. You call us and we respond. May we follow you as we strive to love as you love. Holy God, through trials and turbulence, make us steady, your hands, holding strong the fragile and weak, as we long to love as you love. Holy God, may the fruits of our lives meet the needs of your people, in whatever form that might take, as we work to love as you love. Holy God, remove the barriers that keep us from one another, barriers we construct based on human understanding, as we grow in loving as you love. And Holy God, take this day our fears, our worries, distractions, and all. Turn them into grace and mercy as we learn to love as you love. And as Jesus loved, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. And now, because we give thanks for all that God has given us, we offer our tithes and our offerings so that God's light might further illuminate our community and our world.
And now go in friendship. Friendship with one another, mirroring the friendship and love in the Holy Trinity. God, the Mother and Father of us all, Christ, the Redeemer who laid down his life for us, and the Holy Spirit, the Sustainer, that helps us to lay down our lives for one another. Go and enter the magnetic field.